of the future. I was born into the digital age. I have never lived in a time without the internet. Despite this, for many years I've grappled with the implications of living in a complex technological culture. I have stood on the side of the anti-globalizationists, whose only goal seems to be the destruction of the world economy. I have spoken the words of the naturalist Luddites, whose goal at best can be described as locking humanity into a state of stasis, and at worst can be described as a brutal trip back to our ancestral caves. Now, I reject both of these positions because I see a different future ahead of us. I choose instead to embrace the digital age as one of the great paradigm shifts in human history. It is the new frontier of our generation, a generation born too late to discover new continents and too early to discover new planets. Ours is the digital revolution, the frontier of information that will open up new frontiers in every field and in every direction. Our world is changing. I am here to issue you a challenge. A challenge to think about the influence this technical world is having on the world in which you live. I am here to challenge you to embrace this world that you live in, to learn about it, to adapt to it, and to continue on prepared for the future. Ours is a new world of hackers, decentralized media sources, do-it-yourself cultural shifts, and ever-increasing speed and complexity. It is a world that will require more of you than the one previous to it. It will require that you be willing and able to learn new things more frequently and faster than you ever have before. Wired Magazine, in their July 2006 issue, interviewed media giant Rupert Murdoch. In that interview, Mr. Murdoch commented that in order to find something comparable to the age in which we live now, you have to go back 500 years to the printing press, to the birth of mass media, which, incidentally, was what really destroyed the old world of kings and aristocracies. Technology is shifting power away from the editors, the publishers, the establishment, and the media elite. Now it's the people who are taking control. But with that power and control comes personal responsibility. This new personal responsibility may be frightening to many of you who believe learning is not necessary anymore. Those of you content to live a static life, ignoring the change occurring around you. There is a great lie in our current culture that ignorance is bliss. In the past, willful ignorance has never actually been bliss. It has always been a source of disaster for humanity, though perhaps many could get away with it. In the information age, however, this will become increasingly difficult to get away with. Willful ignorance is even more dangerous now than it was in previous times. Now, it is a sort of living death. Change will bring new solutions to old problems, as well as new problems for us to grapple with. It is my proposal that you begin to live a dynamic life, that you begin to discover and understand these changes around you, to learn how to learn, and to cultivate your creativity wherever it may lie. It is my proposal that you develop a Neo-Zen mindset of cognizant flux, or flow awareness. Keep your fingers on the pulse of our world. Take up the power and responsibility that technology is shifting your way, and learn how to use it. Learn how to use it to improve your life and stay dynamic. Stay always ready for what is coming next.
Hello again, this is Zizi. We will now go to a piece about zombies, a real threat in our day and age. In this piece, we have pulled together audio from NPR reporter Johnny Left, who was unfortunately beaten. I mean, lost, while on assignment.
Dead attacks with Theodore Kozansky, where he has hoarded away thousands of rounds of ammunition to ward off the undead hordes. Well, Mr. Kozansky, do you have any tips for handling this fiendish dead attack?
Well, I wouldn't so much as handle them, you know, get them in close to even trying to handle, as much as just blow them away from a distance. That seems to be your best bet, just right there.
So you don't recommend getting close?
Well, I get within at least a distance that it's close. Yeah, I get pretty close, but not too close. If you don't know what you're doing, I don't do.
So you have experience. You have some previous experience in hunting.
Yeah, not so much the undead, but killing. Killing.
Why don't you tell us about the tools of your trade?
Well, I got me here. Got my Automat Kalashnikov model 1947 here for the safety. Right there. Make sure the safety's back on. Good. All right. Yep. This rolls a 7.62 NATO rounds. Got those off of eBay. Got a little daddy back. Got my Remington 870 Express right here. It's a Magnum receiver. Got my 28-inch deer slayer. Well, undead slayer now. Barrel on it. It's got rolling the hollow point copper savage, the 3 inches, because it is the Magnum receiver, as I might have mentioned. I got my Simmons scope mounted over the receiver right here. That has to be a good oil machine.
So you kill the zombies with shotguns and automatic weaponry?
That's not my only weapons of choice. I have, of course, in the hand-to-hand combat situation.
So you're holding a gigantic meat cleaver like...
Yeah, you say it could be a meat cleaver, because, you know, I'm cleaving away at them, and they're pretty meaty. You know, got your good old, we got a good steak right here, so I just go. That's a big goo later on.
So, do you have any further words for the other survivors of the city?
You just go ahead, you stay the hell away from my house. Stay at least 500 yards away from my house. I will shoot you at. I got my scopes. I got my Leopolds and my Simmonses, and I can see you at night. I got my night vision goggles. Got those off eBay, too. I can see you, and I will find you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I'm not even playing around with you, sir. You get out right now. How do I know that you have one of them zombies? It could be a trap.
You just need to calm down, sir. It's okay.
You just need to get the hell out of my house, you goddamn zombie spy. I'll tell you, they're on the roof of this damn thing.
Now outside of the Theodore Kozansky compound, where I have been exiled by gunpoint. These are trying times for everyone here in the city, where the dead continue to rise daily. And we have to worry about not just the living dead, paranoid people with guns as well. This is Johnny Left with NP.
Ah!
Oh, God.
Poor Johnny. I will really miss him. Up next, some interesting news items.
This is the Media Addict segment. Welcome to the 21st century, folks. It's a glorious time period to be addicted to media. This episode segment is all about that Council of Kings we call our United States Congress. In particular, what we know, they don't know, but they think they do. First up is net neutrality, in particular a flashback to July of 2006. I'm late to this bandwagon, but I can't pass up the opportunity to comment on this. I'm sure you all remember that genius from Alaska, one Senator Stevens, who instructed us thusly about the Internet.
Now, we have consumers who use this Internet, and we have commercial users who use this Internet.
All right. That's pretty simple. I think everyone agrees.
Now, the Internet, you know, let's go back. Internet started with a concept of local-to-local connections across the country, and you could go for Air Alaska, but you had to go through local connections to get there. The industry wisely provided for streaming, for, in effect, a new kind of long distance, and that's what we've got. We've got a service that's immune to distance, and it's there for the consumer.
It seems that he's almost looked something up right there, and I agree. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, there's one company now. You can get sign up, and you can get a movie delivered to your house daily by subscription by delivery service. Okay.
Okay.
And currently it comes to your house. It put in the mailbox when you get home, and annually or monthly, you change your order. But you pay for that, right?
Right.
This service is now going to go through the Internet, and what you do is you just go to a place on the Internet, and you order your movie, and guess what?
What?
You can order 10 of them, and it's delivered to you, and this delivery charge is free, right?
Hmm.
10 movies streaming across that Internet. And what happens to your own personal Internet? I just the other day got Internet was sent by my staff at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I got it yesterday.
Whoa.
Why? Because it got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially.
Someone in his staff sent him an Internet. I wasn't even aware that was possible. You must have a lot of broadband, huh? To send an entire Internet. Man, we could just go on for hours about this. Oh, wow. An entire Internet. There's more, though.
I don't have to have that kind of speed they're talking about in terms of the speeds that they're going to put in the Internet. But the people who are streaming through 10, 12 movies at a time or a whole book at a time consumers' use, those are not you and me. They're not the consumers. They're the providers.
He doesn't need that type of speed. And watching movies on the net, it's not for you and me. And books also, apparently, not for you and me.
But they want to deliver vast amounts of information over the Internet. And again, the Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And if you don't understand, those tubes can be filled. And if they're filled, when you put your message in, it gets in line. It's going to be delayed by anyone that puts into that tube enormous amounts of material.
It's a series of tubes. You may not have been aware of that, but it is not a big truck, as he has explained. It is actually a series of tubes. And when your staff sends you an Internet, if those tubes are filled with things like books, then your Internet takes longer to get to you. Right. Well, folks, my major problem with all this is not the fact that he doesn't support net neutrality. I'm sort of fuzzy on where I stand on that issue myself. My problem is in the fact that this man, in the paraphrased words of Motorhead, is the politician who decides our fate. It is not terribly shocking to me to hear that our leaders in Washington are making decisions about things they do not have any idea about. Anyone who follows politics knows that that is par for the course. Though the tech ignorance isn't shocking, it certainly makes me nervous. Second up A few weeks later, my nervousness about our leader's ignorance is well placed. This is from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. The Senate has approved the Cybercrime Treaty. The Cybercrime Treaty, according to the EFF, requires that the U.S. government help enforce other countries' cybercrime laws. Even if this act being prosecuted is not illegal in the United States, that means that countries that have laws limiting free speech on the net could oblige the FBI to uncover the identities of anonymous U.S. critics or monitor their communications on behalf of foreign governments. American ISPs would be obliged to obey other jurisdictions' requests to log their users' behavior without due process or compensation. Currently, China is not a signatory to this treaty, which means that they can't force their censorship laws on America yet. Let's hope it stays that way. But, you know, they might join us someday. But you know the government, they'll pass anything in the name of safety and security, no matter how much they don't understand about the problem. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, no hair gel on the airplanes, please.
Well, that's the end of the show. But don't cry, more is on the way in episode 2. Until next time, I'm ZZ, and this is Cognizant Flux. Cognizant Flux Episode 1 is an EJ Tower production. Further information can be found by going to www.myspace.com/cognizantflux. Music has been provided by Somnambulist. Information on Somnambulist can be found by going to www.myspace.com/SOMNAM.
It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.